Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And this is Every Man Standing in His Place for this Friday, June 25th, 2021. And now, here is your anointed host and facilitator, Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Welcome to Every Man Standing in His Place on the Spirit Alive Network. And thank you again, Bishop Cook. We thank you always for opening up the opportunity to allow me to bring the word tonight, to just Amen. Try to encourage someone, to try to lift someone's heart, to try to help someone through that may be going through something. And so I just thank you so much. I appreciate you because you're doing this because of your love for God. And we see that it shows in all of your hard work and your dedication. So thank you, God Bishop Cook. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
God
so
bless you.
As we always do, I want to start out this evening with a word of prayer. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening thanking you. We thank you for this opportunity to have some encouragement in our life. We thank you for this opportunity to have some word in our life. We thank you for this opportunity for you to touch our lives in the way that you see fit. Father God, we just thank you for just allowing us to be here. Now, Father God, we pray that your word will touch somebody's heart, will touch somebody's life, will touch somebody so that they can be encouraged and also come to you, Father God, because they will know where their strength is. They will know where their help comes from. They will know where their life was started from, Father God. We just ask that you just touch somebody's life through this word. We ask that you just continue to be with us as we preach your word. I step back, Father God, and I want you to step in, Father God. Please step in and be that word for somebody that needs it. Be that uplifter for somebody that needs uplifting, Father God. We just pray that through this, somebody can truly be saved. And we pray that all that is said and done is pleasing in your sight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. So again, I want to thank those that are listening right now and those that will be listening later on.
Yes,
and
amen.
I pray that what is said will be to somebody, because in these days, it seems like there's a lack of motivation. You know, there's a lack of motivation for doing the right things. There is, you know, there's no motivation out there to be to be your best. Sometimes we think that being better than someone else is good enough in something, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not giving your best. And see, that's what God wants from us. He wants our best. You know, if you're running a race and somebody is running their hardest and pushing their hardest and giving all of their might, but you have somebody that doesn't have to try as hard and they still can win the race, What is that getting them except self-glory? It's not building up their muscles. It's not helping them to get better. It's just helping them to sustain where they are. But God wants us to grow in our lives. He wants us to grow the way that he sees fit. So when he talks about running a race, when the word talks about running a race, there are things that are in the race that are set that is set before us, that we are going to be challenged with. And those things are there to build us up, to make us stronger, to make us move the way that God wants us to move. If it seems like it's an obstacle in a way, that's because God doesn't want you to go that way. Don't try to go that way on your own, because God has put that there for a reason. He has allowed something to be there for a reason. Amen. So today I just want to talk about being motivated, and I want to talk about, or I just want to ask the question, what is your motivation? What is your motivation?
Oh, that's good. Come
you
on.
Know, And so I was looking at the word, and I had some time to think about this, because there were a lot of motivating factors that were at the point when people bear false witness against Jesus Christ. There was they had a motivation factor. There's sometimes our motivation factor to be what we could possibly get out of someone else or out of the situation, with having no regards for anyone else that is being affected. Our motivation may lead to somebody else's downfall, or somebody else's trouble in their life, or something that may make somebody else's life hard. We have to understand that our decisions that we make are when God blesses us, He wants us to bless others, and what that means is that our lives are tied together in such a way that what I do will affect somebody else's life. What I say will affect somebody else's life. What, the actions that I take can have a good, it could have a good reaction or a bad reaction. But I have to look at what is my motivation. And so the first thing I was looking at was motivating factors, some things that would make us do certain things, and it would motivate us to make certain choices. And so it led me to the scripture where Judas betrays Jesus. And it's in Matthew 26. Let me turn to that. It says here, Matthew chapter 26, starting at the 14th verse, it says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?'" Not focusing on what would happen with the delivery of Jesus to them, but he was worried about what he could get. His motivation was what he could get out of the situation, no matter how bad it was for Jesus. Sometimes we have our motivating factor, what we have in our mind, can hurt somebody else, but it's we look at it as, well, as long as it's not me, as long as I'm getting what I want out of the situation, everything is going to be all right. And then later on, we may have a regret about it, because what we got, we realize, is not worth what we got. It's not worth what had happened afterwards. It's not worth having the guilt. It's not worth having having that type of mindset. In other words, our mindset at that point, when we look at what we've done, we always say in hindsight, or I should have followed my first mind, and those things are good to say, but the thing is that we need to say, I'm going to follow God's word. I'm going to live God's word. I'm going to move the way God wants me to move. I'm not going to do something just for me. What Judas was doing, he was looking at what he could get out of the situation, and not what anybody else could get, not what anybody else could have, not what was right, that was not what was the right thing to do. And so what they did is he said, "What are you willing to give me to deliver him to you?" Meaning Jesus. And then they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. It says here, okay, he got 30 pieces of silver, but then it says after that, so from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. We have to watch what motivates us. We really have to be careful about what motivates us because it could occupy us for the rest of our life. It says from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So it didn't matter how long it took. He was motivated by 30 pieces of silver to betray him and give him over to give him over. And the thing is that when they all they were doing was giving him 30 pieces of silver. So sometimes we get affected by the thought of what we can gain as far as earthly goods. We can look at I could just do this. I could just sell drugs for a little while just to build up enough money to try to get on my feet. And then when I get on my feet, I'm going to stop selling drugs. I'm going to stop dealing in drugs. I'm going to do the right thing after that. Who knows if there is an after to that? Because when we step out of the will of God, then God can just the things that happen to us are not that God caused them to, but we step out of God's will. We step out of God's safety zone. We step from behind the hedge of protection of God. And so when we have things that are that are earthly goods that motivate us, and we try to go for it, we have to understand that God's ways is the only way. But if we try to go to our own vices, if we try to go to what we want and how we see that things should go or how we think that things should work out, then we'll find out later on or maybe sooner than later that things weren't supposed to go that way and that God is a lot smarter than I am, and God had it all figured out and worked out, but I just messed everything up because of my motivation, because what motivated me was out of the will of God. And so when we look at what Judas had did, when we look at the fact that it was over 30 pieces of silver, and that with something temporary, he sought to betray Jesus. How long is earthly good going to give you the pleasure or the result that you want? You see, God's love is everlasting. God wants us to God wants us to live beyond this earth. Everything that God wants for us is eternal. How long is 30 pieces of silver going to last? How long is the money that you would make from selling drugs going to last? How long is stolen money going to last? How long is doing wrong going to last? You see, we have to look at these things because we have to understand what truly motivates us. And when we're looking at the motivating factors, this, you know, some people look at it for personal earthly gain. They want to do the best that they can here, which is not a problem, but when it comes to at any cost, that's where the problem lies. It talks about, you know, when we say personal gain, that means that's just something for you. It's not giving glory to God. It's not allowing others to have any other kind of gain. This is your gain. It's between you, yourself, and you again. That's it. Also, I looked at it it was not only Judas. It was not only Judas, but I also looked at, it was in Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus was delivered to Pilate. And it says, when the morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then when they delivered him to Pilate, it says, now Jesus stood before the governor. This is verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word. So the governor marveled greatly. And then this is the part that I was looking at. It says here, now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And they, that time, had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? The notorious prisoner or Jesus Christ? And then it says here, for he knew that they had handled him over, they had handed him over because of envy. They wanted, what they wanted was Pilate to make the decision to kill Jesus, but in that same instant, they had a choice, but also Pilate had a choice. And so what Pilate did is he asked them who should he set free, and he said, and the crowd said, free Barabbas. And so it was so. Barabbas, the notorious killer, the murderer, he freed him instead of Jesus. Now, the thing is that he freed Barabbas not because it was the right thing to do, not because it was the godly thing to do, but it was the popular thing to do. You see, sometimes what motivates us is popularity. Sometimes what motivates us is going with the crowd because we know that we don't have anything pushing against us. We have everything in our favor. We have cheering for you and not against you. But when you go with the popularity contest, sometimes you are going to make the wrong choice because you want the population. You want the population to be happy. You want to make everybody most of the people happy that are in that crowd. But the thing is that when you go with a popularity contest, it's all about what is right by the standards of the one that is popular, not the one that is right. We see that Jesus would have been saw fit to say, "Well, I'll go with what you say because I don't want the blood on my hands. You guys make the choice." Sometimes when it becomes a popularity contest, we have to make the unpopular choice because that's the right way to go and that's the right way to move. And some people aren't going to be satisfied or be happy with the decision that we make, but God will be pleased because we are standing up for God's word and doing the right thing and doing what God has called us to against the popularity of the crowd. We are working along with God's word and not the crowd's word. The crowd can say whatever it wants to. The crowd can try to make you or sway you to go one way and not the other. But God's word still holds fast. God's word is what we need to stick with. God's word is what needs to be strong in our heart. That's why we need to adhere to God's word when it says, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Because when we are faced with tough decisions, when we are faced with opposition, when we are faced with an unpopular decision that we have to make, then we can make it with the confidence that God is well pleased with our walk, regardless of who's against us. And so we truly have to understand this is not a popularity contest, but we have to be prayerful in our decision. What motivates you? What is your motivation? What is my motivation? And so when we think about the motivation factors, we also have to look at the fact that, and I love the fact that at the end of each program, we always have to talk about Romans 12 and 2, where it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we are trying to get people to rethink their motivations. We are trying to get people to recalibrate their minds to understand that God's word is what we need to be calibrated to.
Yeah.
We need to study God's word, study to show ourselves approved unto who? Unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed of the gospel, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, what happened with Pilate
on,
is that
bro.
He, even if he was studying God's word, he was studying to show himself approved unto the crowd and not to God. See, if he had shown himself approved unto God, he would have made the godly decision that was supposed to be made. But we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that God's word is not going to come back void. So we know that God's word the way it was supposed to. But when we are making decisions in life, we have to truly understand that whatever decision that we make is going to affect somebody else down the line. It's going to affect somebody else that may be right by us. It might affect somebody in your own family. But we truly have to understand that we don't make the decisions for ourselves. We don't even make it for other people, but we make our decisions and we are motivated by the things that God wants and how God wants us to act and how God wants us to walk and how God wants us to talk and how God wants us to move,
Hallelujah.
How God wants us to be in this life. Because if we are anything else but a child of God, we are doing the wrong thing. We need to stand up for God's word. We need to be the ones that say, I know that this is the popular decision. This may be the popular thing to do, but I don't mind not being popular for the word of God, because God's word is always going to outshine your popularity or anybody else's popularity in this world, because God's word is bigger than anything that we could even conceive. And so when we look at it, God's word moves in a way that can transform our mind. It can renew our mind. It can make us think a different way. It can make us have a different motivation. What is my motivation? My motivation is to serve God. And when I look at, I looked at 1 Samuel chapter 8, says here, the elders of Israel got together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Make us a king like all the other nations. Sometimes our motivating factors are trying to be like other people, are trying to be like others so we can accomplish what they accomplished, so we can do what they have done, so we can achieve what they've achieved, or we can show the status that they show. You know, when it comes to the financial errors, it's like, you know, some people, they say, well, such and such is a millionaire. I wish I was a millionaire like them, because if I was a millionaire, I would be able to do this, and I would do that, and all of this kind of woulda, shoulda, coulda stuff. But the thing is that even if you had $1 million, that doesn't mean that you'll be doing the right thing with it, especially if you're trying to follow what man does and not what God says to do with what he blessed you with. In other words, we have to truly continue to keep ourselves on the pace that God wants to bless us so we can bless others. And once we understand that, when we do get to a certain status, we know that it's not ours, it's all God's. So whatever God wants to do with it, he's going to do. Whatever God wants to do with my life, because I turned my life over to him, he's going to get the glory. Then I'm going to do whatever he says, regardless of what I think, regardless of how I feel. It's going to be about God's word leading my life, not what I think or what other motivations to step in and try to deter me from doing God's will. And so when we look at that, we see that they wanted a king to be like other nations. They wanted to be like other nations. You know, I like the fact that they were stretching to be like something, and they felt that it was better than what they were. But the thing is that God created us to be who we are. God made us the way he wanted us to be. And God wants us to put that out there, because he doesn't want us to be like other people. He wants us to be like him. And if we could be more like him, then we can understand that all that God blesses us with, all that God gives us, all that God allows us to go through, all that God allows us to see is all because of, is all for his glory, and not to put us up on a pedestal and have us boasting on ourselves. We are supposed to boast in the Lord, and because he's the one who authorizes and, who's the author and finisher of our faith. So we truly have to allow God's word to be our motivation. God's word needs to be our motivation when we are in trouble and we don't know how to get out. God's word needs to be our motivation. We need to be able to pray to God earnestly and say, God, I know you've brought somebody through something. You've even brought me through something, and this here is nothing different than what I've been through. It may be a little bit tougher this time, but I know that but I know that you're tougher than any battle that I could ever fight. So I'm coming to you again, Lord, because you are the one who has all the power. You're the one that deserves all the glory. You're the one that gets all the praise. You are the author and finisher of our faith. And so we have to truly understand what is truly our motivation. We have to really put that in the right order. What motivates you? What motivates me? When I look at all the other motivating factors, those motivating factors can't compare to when all of these accusations, all of this, all of these things happen when Jesus was scourged, when he was beat, when he was bruised, when all of that was going on, what do you think his motivation was? His motivation was that he was going to do it because of love for you and me. He did it because of his love for you and me. And those same people that beat him, those same people that mocked him, that spit on him, those same people, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was his motivation for loving so much someone that would kill him, someone that would try to take his life, someone that would hurt him so bad? What was his motivation for him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? His motivation was love. Jesus loves us so much. All the beating, he took all the scourging, all the talking about, everything. He took it because of love. Now, if love could be our motivation, just think of the things that we could make it through. Think of the things that we can get through. Think of the things that would all come together if we could show the same kind of love that Jesus showed for us on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just think about that. Because Jesus gave it all. What are we willing to give? What is truly our motivation? Is love our motivation? Or is it money?
Well,
is it popularity, personal gain?
That's good.
I'm telling you, we need to rethink. We need to recalibrate our minds and get back to Romans 12:2.
Yes.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our mind daily by studying God's word to show ourselves approved unto him. We need to study God's word, because there's going to be things that's going to come up where we're going to need God's word in our life for motivation. We're going to need it in a situation that we think we can't get out of, and we're going to need God's word to give us some encouragement so we can get out of that or get through that situation. God's word is going to encourage you no matter what situation you are in. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were in the inner prison, and they were shackled, and they were praising God, and they were singing hymns, and they were praying to God, and they were in the middle of being locked up inside a place that was locked up. And when they were locked up inside that place that was locked up, they were more free than a lot of people out here today, because they were praying to God in that situation. God freed them from all of this, from their situation. They could have walked away, but they were so free that they stayed where they were. What is your motivation? What is my motivation? Our motivation should be the love of God. The same God the same love that God showed for us. We need to show to him by loving him and loving others just as much as he loves us. So we need to look at what motivates us to move, what motivates us to talk, what motivates us to do whatever it is that we do. And if we find something of the will of God, we need to let that go and replace it with the word of God, because that will fill us to the point where we can love our way through any situation. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a powerful, timely message. Now, I know that there's someone in here tonight that wants to say amen or put their praise on it tonight. I know Apostle Zeta is in the house. And I want to say, before I go to Apostle Zeta, I just want to say a very beautiful God bless you to our awesome sister, Evangelist Michelle, who's in the house with us tonight. We're not going to ask her to speak because we want her to just rest. But we just want you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. We are continuing to lift you up, our darling. We just want you to get better, and we're so glad that you're being obedient to God and letting him restore you. Now, at this time,
Amen.
I'm going to go to Apostle Zeta. Apostle Zeta, you are in the house. Come on in. You know, look, was he a fly on the wall this afternoon or what?
Amen, amen. The word came forth powerful. And, you know, when the word was going forth, I was kind of reflecting on some things, you know, concerning myself and what God has called me to do and the things that I currently do. And I was just thinking about it when he said, what motivates you? You know, first of all, it should always be love.
Yes,
because
amen.
Whatever
amen.
God gives us to do, it definitely has to do with love, because as he was saying in his message, that, you know, whatever it is that we go forth and do in life, it's also affects others.
Other people,
you know,
yes.
And
yes.
So that is the more reason that we need to be motivated by God, because you know, whatever it is that I'm about, first of all, it's got to be that I'm about my Father's business.
Yeah.
And if I'm about my Father's business, I'm definitely motivated by love. And whatever I do, I want it to make a difference. I want it to have some effects on somebody, helping somebody, encouraging somebody, blessing somebody, doing something for somebody, praying for somebody, and expecting
mm-hmm.
results from whatever it is I'm doing or sent to do. You know, on a daily basis, I look at the things that the Lord has given me to do, and I think about motivation, and then I look at
mm-hmm.
it and I say, well, yes, I was truly motivated by the Lord, because people got blessed, because I saw the joy in somebody else. I heard somebody call back or you know, or whatever, text and say, I'm okay now. The prayer made a difference. The card of encouragement that you sent me made a difference. You know, and that's how we know. And now we know that there are people that are ungrateful as well. But if it's even in your heart to help somebody ungrateful, so be it. I mean, you know, God has no respect of persons, and so
mm-hmm.
and we shouldn't either. You know, we're not always
mm-hmm.
going to get somebody calling us and saying, "I'm sure glad you were praying for me." Or I'm glad that you stopped by to visit, or you brought me some food, or you
mm-hmm.
made your way to the hospital to see me when I was there, and those kinds
mm-hmm.
of things. But it's not going to always happen, and that doesn't mean that the Lord didn't send you. There are just some people that
Amen.
Are going to be like that. You know, that's,
mm-hmm.
that's part of who they are, and they're not going to change. But I'm definitely motivated by his love and by his word, because his word is powerful. And I
yes,
know that, let's see, I made a little note here, but I'm not seeing it. But I do know that God's word is powerful, and we need to
yes.
make sure that we're operating by his word, motivated by his word. And the more we get into the word, to the word of God, the more we are motivated to do his will.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's
mm-hmm.
why it's so important to know him and to know and to really know the truth.
Yes.
Is this really of God? Is it really of him? You know, and
mm-hmm.
so we have to stop
and just
pray and ask God. Now, Lord, this sounds so good, and this is something that I'm looking forward to. But is it your will? You know,
mm-hmm. right.
I was thinking about truth in reference to the word of God. Sojourner Truth even said truth is powerful, and it prevails, and it does. So it just made move. I mean, we just need to be motivated by the truth, by the word, by the word of God.
Right.
What is God speaking in this hour? What is He saying about it? And anyway, I just enjoyed the message. It was good, and it was stirring. It was stirring. It make you think. I enjoyed the word.
I enjoyed it too. Amen. I enjoyed that word as well, because I want everything that I do to be of God and for His glory. And, you know, and everything lines up when you do things according to the word of God, because, you know, He tells us to esteem others higher than ourselves.
Yeah.
And a part of that is when we do things, then we have to consider their cost. You know, we have to think outside of our own tents and think about the sacrifices they might have to make, or they, you know, it's just like this network. The people on this network, the servant leaders on this network are faithful. They just don't show up sporadically every once in a while, every once in a blue moon. They are faithful. Now, as a servant leader, I love my network. I want our network. I want our network to go forward. But at the same time, I have to be understanding enough to know that they too are servant leaders. They have lives. They have people that they are pouring into. So when I schedule a program or you know, I need for them to do something, I just don't demand that of them. I ask respectfully, because I want to consider what they might have to go through, how they might have to prepare, what's on their plate. You know, because if you love people, you don't want to burn them out. You don't want to wear them out. You don't want to tire them out. You know, I know the word of God says that we shouldn't grow weary in doing good. But when you want people to do things for the glory of God, you know that you trust God to have them do exactly what He wants them to do, no more and no less. And it doesn't matter how I pray to the contrary or what I want. If I'm doing everything based on what I'm going to get, like you said, how do you grow? How does the people grow? How do we grow? Mm-hmm. We grow as a family together in love through the word of God.
Right.
Through the Spirit of God. So I really appreciated this message, because like you said, it's a whole lot of us. We seem to have gotten real comfortable with just wanting what we want with no regard to how it might affect someone else. You know, we want to exchange, we want people to exchange their will for ours when God doesn't even ask us to do that. You know?
Right.
Amen.
You know, they're there in the mix. We're not going to say support, because see, support means these are the people that's in your corner when nobody's looking. These are the people that's in your corner when you're not in the church house, when you're not on the air. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Those are the people that support you. But then you have those that, you know, they want to be heard, they want to be seen, so they show up. But look at their lives, though. Do they ever really mature spiritually? I don't think so. You know, Sister Jenkins might need to do more than saying "Nearer My God to Thee" on her Sunday. Or Brother Thornton might need to do more than stand the door on his Sunday. Where's the sham? Where's the making a difference in someone else's life? So I just want to thank you for this wonderful message here on tonight, because if God is motivating you, you're going to do everything that you can to bless everyone that you can for as long as you can in any way that you don't have to, you know, you don't have to outdo anybody. You're not trying to what up anybody. You're just trying to get in there any little way that you can be of service. You want to be a servant because you know it glorifies God. And that's what I want to do in my life. So I just want to thank you, Pastor, for reminding us all, you know, check your motivation. Because, see, God sure knows them.
Mm-hmm.
God knows. Yes. See, people see what we do, but God knows our motives.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm praying for those people that they're going to get up there to the kingdom. And they're going, you know, and the Lord is going to say those scary words that I never want to hear, depart from me. I know you not. And they're going to be talking about, well, you know, Lord, I had a mega church, and you know, Jesus, I did. He said, yeah, but it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm. What was your motivation?
Your motive, that wasn't for me.
Right.
That was for show. You know, that was your agenda. You know, he said, it didn't bring me glory. It didn't bring me honor. You might have stood before the thousands, but you did not pour into the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, just because you stand before people don't mean you're pouring into them.
Right.
So I just praise God when God is your motivation, and when you just want people to be the best that they can be in Christ, I just believe that the Lord will lead you and he will guide you and he will tell you what to do for them and for yourself. Because in blessing others, I found I've never failed to be blessed myself. I don't do it for the blessing, but I'm telling you, when you're a blessing to others and you just want to be a blessing to others and truly want to bless, you get a blessing yourself. So I just praise God. I thank you. My brother, I'll turn your program back over to you, and you may close your program. After the program, please go upstairs, hug your beautiful wife, kiss her for us, tell her how much we love her, and I just love you, and God bless you. And thank you, Apostle Zeta. And if there's anyone else that would like to have a word, there's still time. If there's anyone that is feeling the tug from the Lord to make him your Lord and Savior, there's still time, because you heard a word that should make you want to run to him. So because he definitely lifted up the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. So we just want to thank you, Pastor, and I'll turn your program back over to your capable hands.
Amen. God bless you again, Bishop Cook. I just, you know, and I thank you for the person that God created you to be. I thank you for being, you know, overseer that he called you to be, because like you said, that wasn't just talk. You know, when you say you see what, if everything is okay with your servant leaders, you want to make sure that everything is right. You don't push and prod them to do things, because you've checked on me so many times, and you know, just, you know, so I've experienced it, and so I just thank you for that love that you show. You know, I thank you for that love that you show. You always show the love that God wants us to show, and so I learn a lot from what you show me. And so thank you.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So with that, we're going to be closing the program, and I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to a word tonight. I pray that it was encouraging to you. I pray that it has uplifted somebody that may have been down, or turned somebody around to the way that God wants them to be, and allow them to get, you know, a relationship with him. And so tonight, again, we just want to thank you, and we pray that you acknowledge God in all that you do. And our fervent prayer is that you be ye transformed. God bless you, and good night.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Beautiful job.
Good night.
Beautiful. Good night. Just
God
beautiful.
Bless you.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.